Around 125,000 children in the United States are in need of a home and are ready to be adopted. And about 443,000 are in foster care. It's easy to get overwhelmed by these big numbers, but Kimberly Offit says if just one family from every church stepped up, every child would have a home. Listen as Kimberly shares her own personal story with adoption. Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host today, Jenny Rose Spauto, and today I have the pleasure of talking to Kimberly Offit. Now, Kimberly works as the National Foster Care Adoption Director for Bethany Christian Services, and she's an adoptive mother. She knows what it's like. So I am so thrilled to talk to you today, Kimberly. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And I know today we're going to get really deep talking about foster care and adoption. But before we get there, I'm really curious, what is your story and your personal connection to foster care and adoption?
You know, thank you for asking me about that. I totally live and breathe what I do. And God is just amazing in his sense of wisdom and also humor. When I started at Bethany Christian Services 16 years ago, I started off as a recruiter. And I was challenged to work with the churches, and it was a program called Project Open Arms, where we went to the church and we shared with the body of Christ and reminded them of James 1:27, you know, the scripture that says, pure and faultless religion is this, to care for the orphan. So my goal was to build these relationships with the body of Christ and to recruit families from the church who would stand up and open up their hearts and their homes to kids who are waiting right here in the U.S. Well, God, in his sense of humor and his wisdom, said, listen, sweetie, before you go and tell somebody else what they should be doing, you do it. Wow. So that very first year in 2003, when I started at Bethany, I became the first family that I recruited. I was very successful that year. I can tell you stories about how I had to now go home and tell my husband, who knew, we agreed when we got married that one day we were going to adopt. But we had it in our minds that we would adopt this little person, you know, someone between the ages of 0 and 3. And one day we would have, quote unquote, our own kids. I'm doing the air quotes there. That was our belief. That's what we thought. But the child that I saw in this book, back then they created these books that were as thick of it as a JCPenney's catalog that featured kids who were waiting. And they were waiting the longest for forever home. So I was looking through this book, and I saw these little one-year-olds who were available for adoption, and I thought, you know, maybe I should call and find out about them. But it was this 9-year-old little boy who every time I flipped the page and I looked in his eyes, I couldn't look in his eyes without choking up. Like, I would want to literally cry every time I looked in his eyes. And I had a friend I shared with her about the picture, and she told me, why do you keep covering this baby's face? I said, girl, I can't look at him. Every time I look at him, I start to cry. She said, well, maybe you should call about him. And I'm like, oh, God, you just spoke. Oh, God. So I literally decided to go into my office that day. I took my hands off of his face, and I just let the Holy Spirit do what he was going to do. And there's no other way for me to explain this to you besides to say, God gave me a mother's heart for that child that day. I cried, I prayed, I was weeping. I was literally under my desk, snotting that ugly cry. You know that ugly cry when you have like snot and you can't breathe?
Oh, yes.
That's the kind of cry that I was doing over my 9-year-old son, Darius. And I called the worker. The numbers were literally in the book, so I called the worker and I said, hello, my name is Kimberly Offit. I'm from Bethany Christian Services, and I'm a recruiter. And I think I found a family for your 9-year-old Darius, who's photolisted in the mayor book. She called me back in like minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I had to tell her the truth. I'm like, I'm sorry, it was me. I lied. Tell me about him. But yeah, long story short, I met my son and a few other children. I would travel around the state of Michigan and meet kids to do these public service announcements because I felt like if people just met these children and just saw their faces, they would know that they're just kids that came from hard places. Well, I had an opportunity to meet my son, and I had my husband along with me, and we were playing this game, and I literally have it on videotape. He beat him at this basketball game. He said, I beat you, Dad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was my first child.
Wow.
Yeah, 9-year-old Darius, and now he's 24. I have two grandbabies from him. And we also have, we went on to adopt again. We have four children who were adopted from foster care. Their ages are 25 down to 15. They're all older children. I have six grandbabies now, three biological children. We are a very busy family, but yes, I live what I do. And that's the shortest version that I could possibly give you of my adoption story.
Well, thank you for sharing. It's such a beautiful story, and it's such a good example of how when we obey God's word, like what you were saying about pure religion that is faultless, is caring for the widows and the orphans. And when you do that, God blesses you and he lets you experience just that fullness of obedience. It's so beautiful. And I think you're a great example of that. But for those families who maybe aren't doing that, what do you think it is that kind of holds Christian families back from foster care and adoption?
You know, in my years doing this work, one thing that I have come up against a lot is fear. Fear because you hear so many negative things in the media. You hear about children who have hurt other children, or children who hurt animals, or you see families who've hurt kids. I mean, you hear all of the negative stuff. And I hear, you know, the quote-unquote, again, damaged kids and not wanting to take the risk. Or, you know, families tend to talk themselves out of being a foster parent or adopting because they think maybe they're too old, or they don't have enough money, or, you know, it's the single widowed mom who thinks, no, I need to be married. I can't do this alone. You know, we tend to talk ourselves out of things as well. But again, the biggest thing that I've came up against is false media, the negative stuff out there. You don't hear the successful stories.
Right.
You don't hear the amazing beauty. You don't hear that as much as the negative things are glorified.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. And honestly, that's probably the reason they have National Adoption Month. But
yes.
For those who don't know what that is, can you explain what that is to us?
Well, number one, it's a celebration of the countless families that have come together through adoption, whether that is domestically, internationally, or through foster care adoption. We love to celebrate our families during this month. We want to thank them for the sacrifices that they have made to bring healing to the world's most vulnerable kids. But secondly, it's designed to bring awareness to thousands of kids around the world who are still waiting for families. In the U.S. alone, there are over 100,000 kids waiting for a forever family. And if they've been in foster care, they've been waiting for at least 2 to 3 years. So during this month of awareness, Bethany is calling on families across the nation to consider adoption, as there are just so many children in need of a loving, stable family.
Wonderful. That's so beautiful. And so can you tell me a little bit more about the actual state of foster care and foster care adoption in America?
Oh, yes. In the United States alone, there are over 400,000 kids who are in foster care just in the United States. I believe the number is something like 443,000 to be exact. Yes. And about a quarter of them are actually available for adoption. So it's over 100,000, roughly about 125,000 kids who are in the United States, who've been waiting for a forever family. So you have to know, when I go to churches, I tell them, how many churches are there in the U.S.? If one church stepped up and identified one family to adopt one child, the body of Christ could solve this crisis alone. We would have more families than we had kids that were waiting. That is the goal.
Oh, my goodness. And do you have any personal stories, or maybe stories of other people that you know whose lives have been really blessed and changed by foster care adoption?
Absolutely. I can think of so many kids and so many families that I've worked with along the way. One child in particular comes to mind who was in foster care since he was about 8 or 9. His name is Cody. He was finally adopted at the age of 16. And if you was there, like if you can just imagine, we had a full courtroom with his family when his family was finally identified. And we were all in these superhero type shirts because he loved Marvel Comics. And we were there in all these superhero shirts. But he had this poster up that said, I spent 3,761 days in foster care.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you just think about that, this child spent so many years in foster care. I mean, yes, so many days in foster care and so many years waiting for his forever family. But to see that family come together, to see the family decided it didn't matter how old Cody was. It didn't matter all of the life experiences that he had. It didn't matter the trauma that he's experienced. God knew that this family was called to be his family, and they brought them together, and it was just amazing. It's a beautiful story of redemption as well, and the family is doing amazing. That's just one that comes to mind.
Oh, that's awesome. It's so exciting. Now, one question, just so that I can better understand, mm-hmm. because I know that when you're dealing with the foster care system, you're dealing a lot of times with the government. But with mm-hmm. Bethany Christian Services, what role do you guys play in the foster care process? How do you guys help?
Yes, you're correct. DHS, the state government, works alongside Bethany, a private agency, to provide the care and support of a child when they enter foster care. Again, foster care is intended to be a temporary solution to what should be a temporary problem. So the goal is always to reunify our children with their birth families. Unfortunately, there comes a time where our kids cannot safely return home, and that's when we then begin the search for an adoptive family. If that foster family isn't an adoptive family, we begin the search to match that child with an adoptive home. So yes, we also understand that foster care was never intended to be that long-term option for kids. So finding a permanent home with a loving family is the best place to help our children heal and grow.
Okay, that makes sense. So basically, you guys are kind of a go-between. You're helping facilitate that relationship with the foster care children's real parents, and then if that doesn't work, you look outside for someone to adopt.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. So let's say, for instance, someone is listening to this podcast who is interested in either taking a child in foster care or adopting a child through foster care. What would that process even look like?
Well, the process to be a foster and adoptive family is very similar. What we start off by doing is we train you. We want to ensure that you know what you're getting into. And working with the state and working with Bethany and working with the court systems and, you know, the guardian ad litem, the lawyers for our kids, working as a part of a team to provide, you know, a safe home and health and healing for our kids. So first things first is our families go through a very intensive training process. And then they begin what we call the home study process. So that includes background checks and clearances, fingerprints, your home study, where we come in and ensure that your family, your home is safe. We assess your community. If you're married, we assess your marriage. We assess you as a larger family. We include your biological kids in the home study process. So it is what some people say is really intrusive. And I understand that even as an adoptive family myself, we get into your business because we want to be sure that you're a safe option for a child who's already gone through so much.
Absolutely.
If you can just remember, our kids come through because of abuse and neglect, and we want to be sure that your family is safe. So that is, in a nutshell, the process. People tend to ask, you know, how long does that process take? And we say anywhere between 3 months to 6 months before you would be fully assessed and ready to take in a foster child or even adopt.
And honestly, I love that you guys do that, because this is probably totally media perception and whatnot, but from all the movies I've seen about foster care, the foster parents are always mean, right? They're always so mean, or like the adoptive parents are always so mean. And that's just simply not true. So I love that you guys have this in place of making sure that these kids go to good homes. These kids aren't going to people who are just going to take advantage of them or use the system. I love that there's
Absolutely.
A vetting process. So praise God for that. But for the American church in general, how can we as Christians do a better job of making sure we're addressing the foster care crisis in our nation?
You know, that is a wonderful question. And again, when I first started at Bethany, recruiting and working with the church. I found myself in 16 years ago knocking on the church doors and, like I said, reminding them, hey, James 1:27, pure and faultless religion is this, to care for the orphan. I found that their eyes are open and their hearts are open to that. And now churches are doing more. They're knocking on our doors and they're saying, hey, how can we help? How can we get this message out? Can I give up my Sunday service time to dedicate it to foster care and adoption, to dedicate it to sharing about this ministry? We have churches who are prayer partners. We have churches who have, you know, literally launched foster care and adoption ministries within their church. If you can think about it, like I said before, there are over 100,000 kids who are available for adoption. And if one church identified one family to adopt one child, the body of Christ could solve this alone. But imagine what that church can do with that one family. It takes a village to raise a child. So that one family, you have the whole church surrounding around them, providing that support. I truly believe everyone is not called to necessarily be that foster parent or that adoptive parent, but we all have a gift. We all have something that we can offer. You can be that prayer partner. You can be that person who brings meals when this foster family who was just two people now became a family of six. You know, you can bring meals. You can help with transportation. You can babysit. You can mentor. You can help support them financially. Cut some grass. I mean, there's so much that all of us can do. You can get your kids involved, and what a blessing that is even to them, showing them the sacrifices that they can make and how they can really be a part of something bigger than themselves. So I really believe that the church alone can surround around our families and can really be so impactful in the hearts and minds of so many children and families around the world.
I love that. Great suggestions. And honestly, it reminds me of a Christian family that I'm close friends with. They were foster parents for a little while, and thankfully the children were able to be reunited with their parent. But in the meantime, they took in these three kids, and it was a lot. And they already had a lot in their plate, but God burdened their heart, and they did it. And it was just so cool to see the rest of the church really support this family and help provide for diapers or food or whatever the family needed, even just emotional support, because it can be hard.
Yes.
It was such a blessing to see the body of Christ kind of do that. And so I love what you said. Not everyone's called to be a foster parent, but we can all do something to help those who are. So that was beautiful. Now, a little birdie told me that Bethany Christian Services is actually beginning a partnership with Steve Harvey and also with radio host Willie Moore Jr. So I'm kind of really curious about that. Can you tell me about it?
Absolutely. In May, we actually started our partnership with the Steve and Marjorie Harvey Foundation. And that was incredible because it included the Steve Harvey Mentoring Program for young men. We were able to connect some of our young fellows that are in foster care and who have also been adopted with the Steve and Marjorie Harvey Foundation. So they actually went to some of their mentoring camps, and those camps had interactive programs that included workshops that taught them about manhood and personal responsibility and dream building and the importance of nutrition and physical fitness and all kinds of great things. And they were able to really connect with more male role models who are leaders in various areas, including business and communities and entertainment and the military. It's just incredible to see partnerships like this happen. The Steve and Marjorie Harvey Foundation have been a blessing to Bethany Christian Services and the young men that were able to be a part of their camp. And we look forward to doing that again next year as well, and maybe even having some of our young women attend their Girls Who Rule the World camp. They have a camp for girls and boys.
So
cute. I'm excited about that. And then in last December, we actually launched our partnership with Willie Moore Jr., and that has been spectacular. Willie is an incredible speaker. He's a talented motivational encourager, and he's an adoptee, which has been, you know, him being able to share his story as well and share his passion for adoption. And his goal is to really help us get these kids who are in foster care, who are available for adoption, into Forever Families. And that has been incredible, too. Since December of last year, we've been able to recruit roughly, I think it's about 325, if that's the last number that I saw, families have come forward interested in adopting from foster care.
Oh my goodness.
Alone. From that partnership. It's just incredible. What can you do if you use your platform, if you use the connection that you have to just share? You are truly being, and I'm saying this to Willie and anybody else like Willie and Steve Harvey, who want to use their platform, use their voice to be the hands and feet of Christ right here on earth and just share the message about the need. I thank them for the work that they're doing.
Wow, yeah, no kidding. 325 just from this initiative?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That's amazing. Praise God. Well, honestly, Kimberly, you have answered all my questions and you have shared just such touching, insightful stories and answers. But I can't end this podcast without asking you, where can people go to find out more about Bethany Christian Services?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, which is www.bethany.org. And we're also on social media. This is Bethany if you're on Instagram, and Bethany Christian Services on Facebook.
Awesome. Listeners, be sure to go and check those places out. And Kimberly, thank you for coming on the show today. I have really enjoyed speaking with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blessing.
Oh, praise God. And listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.